It has been a hot minute since we have leveled up to double digis, guys.
I think it's been at least 5 years.
Yep.
I literally don't remember the last time I was double digits.
I was about to say, when you said hot minute, I was like... Oh.
It was like, I feel like it was a... Yeah, it was our old campaign, our old 1E.
Sticky Business?
No. Well, I mean... No, we never got to 9. No, I think it was one edition, first edition, our campaign. I remember at 10th level is when I took Spiritualist. I multiclassed.
Okay.
My draw character, I multiclassed into Spiritualist, and I got my dead wife started haunting me.
Right.
I don't remember making it to level 10 in that campaign.
I'm pretty sure that was level 10.
I didn't think...
No, that adds up. That adds up. So you took Spiritualist again, Kelly, is what I'm hearing?
Oh, man. I wish Spiritualist was a class. although they're coming out with the Animus or something, and that's kind of Spiritualist.
It's not I'm like just a offend, I'm just offended ideal, you didn't ask know. Me to homebrew a Spiritualist so we could have your dead wife back.
Yeah.
Back
Kesra's dead too. Wife.
Kesra's dead wife.
I sense to have a live wife, so I'll just be good with her.
That's true. Your live real life wife is much better than a pretend dead one.
Yeah.
No, well, you know,
hot takes from Jake.
Stop hating on my imaginary dead wife. She was alive. I mean, she can't even defend herself. She's dead.
That was in the first edition. She doesn't even exist.
She didn't make it through the conversion.
She didn't.
Oh, her name was Alone, I think it was. Alone? No.
Alone, yes.
Was it?
No, it was
impressive.
It was Elone. It was like Elone. It was
Okay, yeah.
First it was Alone, then there was a laugh.
I see a theme.
Flavors of Wild 1E. Who wants to go first talking about their new 10th level characters?
I will go first because I got some sweet ability boosts, which pumped up my. I don't actually know what I put it into. Let me check.
Oh my god.
Well, I put it really into
basically
start.
Like my ability boost, strength, con, wisdom, and charisma. So I am a strong boy. I am more HP. And I have this super cool skill feat because I am a master of deception. I have the skill feat double speak. So any ally who has been with me for a week knows a secret language. So I can say one thing and mean a completely different thing. And if someone wants to discern my message, they have to critically succeed on their perception check.
Oh, damn.
Against my deception DC.
Wow.
If they want to discern the message. If they want to know if it's a secret message, they just have to succeed, but they won't know the meaning.
Okay, dude, okay.
Your
guy
is literally a night spy.
Yeah, yeah. If the CIA existed in this world like that, this is what they would have. Wow. Okay. That's cool.
So that means I'm gonna have to have like a separate Discord where it's just John, Kelly, and Mark, where I talk to them separately.
I hate that idea so much.
Just every once in a while, you just see me mute myself.
I mean, feel free to, but every message you get back from me is, Benson chooses to ignore your stupid bullshit gibberish.
No, that's...
Don't worry, because I'm not speaking to you.
That's cool.
I have a class feat, which will be revealed later.
Whatever. There's so much secrecy behind you and your character. I hate it.
I haven't finished writing my backstory. It's because it's all secret.
Jake, if he was 100% honest, he would have to be honest of the fact that he's lying about all the bullshit powers that make him run 60 fucking yards and fucking turn. Have bullshit initiative, all, you know, just all of it.
I think
it's the chrono worm
all the time. Wouldn't it be hilarious if Timmy did just make up a quote archetype? And I was just like, I mean, I trust you, buddy, I guess.
I mean, what's this one item that literally negates all the bad parts about being a paladin? All right, yeah, I'll take that.
Hey, you know, you get to Kentarko, you can look around for the same thing.
I'm not salty, you are.
Well, dude,
I'm literally talking shit, and I've got a Cloak of the Mount back in my back pocket.
So you
I really need
cloaks.
To shut up.
Two
you
cloaks.
Have a nice teleporting cape there.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. So sorry. So you said we're going to see about your class ability come.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Who's next?
I can go.
Go.
All right. So level 10 sorcerer. Kezra abilities go into con, wisdom, dexterity, and charisma. So Kezra is now at an 18 strength, an 18 con, a 16 dexterity, and a 19 charisma. And then don't worry about his wisdom and intelligence. They're not good. However, so Kezra got beefy this level up. So I didn't add into strength again because I'm already at 18. I'm happy there.
Yeah.
But con goes up. I gained 20 HP this level. Yeah, so my level up made me significantly tougher. But with con, wisdom, and dexterity going up, all my saves go up an additional point.
Yep.
And my charisma is only at 19 because I started level 1 at 16. So Kezra's not like the full min-maxed caster.
Yeah.
So I will reach 20 charisma at level 15.
15.
And that's how high as I'll go.
It is interesting because the 18 in strength for a sorcerer is cool, but you did get the rage ability. So like mm-hmm. are we gonna see him rage more now that he's got like, you know, peak strength?
Let's just say that I've had a plan all along from the very beginning. Level 1, okay. I knew what Kezra was going to do. But nice. Yeah, I mean, Kezra started this adventure in the fray a lot because I felt like he was as strong of a melee character as he was a caster at low levels. And I opted for physical aggression because that's kind of Kezra's thing. He's a lot of strength, big dude.
Yep.
But as he's leveled up, he's become a far more proficient caster, and that's why he's kind of turned more into like a blaster type character. But this was a big level up for my ultimate vision for him, being able to get dex and con pretty both very high now. So yeah, you might.
I like it.
For a skill feat, I took Impeccable Crafter, which all it does is whenever I get a success crafting, I actually get a critical success.
Nice.
Ooh, cool. So that's very good. Pretty sick.
That's pretty baller.
I too will reveal my feat at another time.
Ah.
My class feat, that is. However, I will reveal what I did to my spell. So I got another 5th level spell, and I took a spell that I'm unsure if I'm ever going to really use, but I like the idea of it. I took Telekinetic Haul.
Oh, okay. Which, that sounds cool. I don't know that.
It's very cool. It's like sounds mega fancy. It's mega mage hand. Essentially, it has 120 feet of range.
Okay.
It can grab one unattended object of up to 80 bulk with no dimension larger than 20 feet.
Holy shit.
And 80 bulk is a fuckload of weight, by the way. It's heavier than a car.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's like tons worth. Yes. Oh my god.
When I did the math and the rules, I can't remember what it was, but a car was like 50 bulk.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
So Telekinetic Haul can pick up some pretty serious stuff. And I don't know if I'm ever going to use it, but I feel like when I do, you're going to hate it.
That's why
I like the spell.
When we get to it and you inevitably drop something ridiculous onto an enemy, yes, I would love to do the math on that just because it would be absurd.
Mm-hmm. And I drop a Toyota Corolla on the Red Dragon.
So for those of us that played Tears of the Kingdom, do you remember summoning a giant like block of something and just dropping it on enemy's heads?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Well, you'll see me trying that.
Yeah.
What is that? Every bulk is a D6? So.
Yeah, 80 bulk of something landing on something will be fun. And it could be a 20-foot by 20-foot item.
Oh my god. that's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, the spell specifically says no dimension greater than 20 feet. So it has to, so it's a curious thing, but I guess they don't want you picking up, like, I don't know, whole buildings or something.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
You could pick up a small shack.
I was gonna say a shack or an outhouse at that point, yeah.
All right, so the last couple things that I did, I replaced a spell, which I think you can do when you level up. And I took, I replaced Lightning Bolt, which was my third level signature spell.
Okay.
Gasp.
Yeah, I kind of decided that my Lightning Breath attack is so powerful that Lightning Bolt kind of became redundant.
Okay, all right, I understand. Yeah.
But I didn't replace it with something completely different. I replaced it and made the spell my signature spell again, Horizon Thunder Spear, which is
the badass
like Kamehameha lightning attack.
Yeah,
that's a first level spell, but it heightens every level. Yeah. But it's the one that you can cast as a three
action. I thought
you can you can actually cast it in one turn and you would unleash it in the second turn.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it has it's a 2-3 and whole round action.
Wow.
Depending on how you use it. And it's a lightning ball, so I changed my lightning bolt into this very powerful lightning ball. And I can cast it at 5th level, which is a lot of damage if I do that.
Yeah. Sounds like a lot of fucking damage.
But yeah, it's Kamehameha Wave. I can spend a whole round and then blow someone up on my next round.
Yeah.
I'm looking very, very much forward to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, the sheer fact that your breath weapon was, 96 at this point?
It is 96, and next level it'll go to 11.
Jeez.
Wait, is it stupid?
Is it 96 at 10th, or does it go up from then?
It got to 96 last level.
Oh, okay, I got you. Yeah.
At 9. Yeah. So yeah. At 9th level.
Lightning Bolt's 4d12?
4d12 at 3rd level. I did have it as my signature spell, so I was casting it with, 5d12 or whatever.
Yeah, but still 9.
Getting it as basically getting the same thing with a slightly shorter range for free all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a good idea.
God, that's awesome.
Kezra's never minded to get up in the business.
No. All right, who's next? Mark, John?
I'll go next. I'll make it quick. So very, very nice stat increases. I happen to be a master of fortitude saves and a master of intimidation rolls now.
Nice.
I mean, fortitude doesn't even matter because Jake never asked me to roll it.
Nope.
Fuck you, Jake.
Nope. I won't.
But the plus 20 to intimidation is not going to hurt. You know, 158 base health right now.
Ooh.
33 AC with my feats. For my class feat, I took Shield of Reckoning, which I thought at first was underwhelming, and then Jake shined his light of wisdom. And I'm essentially getting even more action economy with single actions, because every time I use Retributive Strike, I can use Shield Block on an ally. So,
You flipped that, but...
Did I?
Yeah. So what it is when you shield block, when you shield block for an ally, you get to at the same time with the same reaction get your retributive strike off on the creature.
Which I will also say that means you get my shield's damage reduction.
Yes.
And the retributive strike reduction.
Oh my god!
Wow,
that's fantastic.
It's fucking dirty.
Yeah, when I was reading through it, there's a Mercy at 10th level or something like that. If you go Mercy Paladin, obviously that's the way to go. But I was looking at some other stuff, and then I saw, Shield of Reckoning. Okay, all right. It's, oh my god.
It makes Benson way more intense at what Benson does best.
Yeah.
And since Tim's character is going to be up in the fray with me, I feel like this is just insane value.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what's synergy?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, seriously. And then Jake will get even more pissed off.
I know.
Oh, man.
So annoying.
Yeah. Actually, you go, Mark. Then I'll ask Jake my question.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's Elk is actually quite easy because he has no spells, doesn't have to worry about anything else, but his ability boost certainly made him a lot better. He now has an ability boost in Strength, Con, Wisdom, and Dex. So... his strength's at 18. Ooh. His con's at 18.
Ooh.
So, yeah. His health is at 148, I think, at this point.
I still beat you.
I know you do.
That's unbelievable. Like, Elk is such a damage monster. The fact that you have so much health, it's so fucking much. Insane.
Dude, Kev's really gaining on you all of a sudden. I'm at 127. I went from 107 to 127 this level.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah. No, I believe it. See, Wisdom, I just decided to put something in Wisdom because it kind of helps with certain abilities that I've been trying to exploit more. My Dex, though. Just what I think Kelly was talking about, I did actually more min-max, as my dex is at 20.
Oh, boy.
Let's go. Oh. Plus 5.
So Mark's attack bonus went up by 3.
Wow.
So, yeah, like, my composite longbow right now, it's a plus 21 base.
Oh,
Jesus.
So that's dirty not fuck. Even counting the 2 to add to it. Like,
oh
everything going there. Oh, plus,
my gosh.
Yeah.
So plus, if you use Hunter's Aim, it does like it's a plus 25 to hit.
Yes. Yep. Plus 23 to hit. Sorry.
23 to hit.
Oh god, that hit me right in the solar plexus. That's so broken.
So my acrobatics, you know, just because I really just enjoy seeing my reflex save go up even more to plus 23 now.
Oh my god.
My little save's still lagging.
My highest skill is 18.
My 4-2 it is a plus 20. I mean, shit. No, but it's fun. It's
your
a fortitude lot of fun
to plus 20? I was so happy that mine was. Yeah, fuck you.
Well, I mean, like, my con's at 18.
I think all of us have really good fortitude, but we all have bad will.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, my will's, I think,
my will is not terrible.
That's why I'm focusing more on will, because that your enemies are getting smarter and knowing that you guys are just stocky.
Wait, meatwall. This is nothing but a group of 5 brick shit houses. We need to attack them a different way.
Just literally chomping at this.
Just chunky boys.
But yeah, class feat, I'm gonna wait, of course, like everyone else.
Yep.
Skill feat.
I didn't wait.
This is something I know, but skill feat, something Kezra could have used, which is Kip Up.
Oh, nice.
Which I have to be master in acrobatics, but basically, if I'm prone, I can get to a standing position without taking an action.
Yep.
So I just basically do that wrestling maneuver of, like, using my back muscles to launch myself to the feet.
Yeah, just whoop, up.
Yeah.
Ready.
I don't trigger reactions by standing up.
Hmm.
Yeah.
It's quite good.
That's really nice because you can drop prone for free, and if you're ever in a situation where you're taking range damage, you can basically go get plus 40 or AC for free whenever you want.
Man.
Straight up like warfare.
Yeah, like if you just like, if you ever got a spellcaster shooting shit at you or people throwing their shooting boats at you, you are untouchable.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, because I think my AC at this point is 28. So, not nearly Benson, but it's getting there.
That's getting there. I mean, with a shield, you'd only be one off.
Yeah.
Well, three off if you count my shield. But.
Okay, so here comes my question.
Okay.
As the Pathfinder remaster is rolling out, how do you want to handle us adopting any of the changes that have happened?
I know. I've been slowly reading them, and I mean, if you haven't gotten in, our Discord community is just so. They're just a bunch of lovely people talking about all the changes, and it's just amazing to see the conversation going. I of course I'm going to adopt some because some of them are very cool. There are some that I'm not a fan of, and it might just be because I'm old. But like, you know, the main like really cool changes I'm all for. So obviously we will talk about that before we record next episode. But for now, let's stick with the regular stuff, and then we will decide what we want to keep and stuff like that. So I'm gonna do some convincing on things like, you know, removing like alignment and stuff like that, because like There's so many things that like work off of that like it's just gonna be a big change. So I'm for it if it makes sense and if I can be convinced of it. I'm just stubborn. That's all it is.
Okay.
At least you admit it.
So one of the things that I like to do is I like to explain leveling up and growing as a character by giving it like a real like in-world reason. And I really think that this group, after dominating that fight against the Kruths second time around, because the first time you guys were getting stomped. Mm. And when you guys went in the second time, you guys handled it cleanly. And I think it's because you guys are finally learning to work together without Adalar and working with Grimshaw now. So what do you guys think about that? Do you think that it's really that you're leaning into that, and that's like, you know, why you guys leveled up, quote? Or do you think it's that you guys have a renewed vigor after, you know, like freeing Cypress Point?
I think it was the synergy of our team, and we're on a good track record right now to keep leveling up. That's my boardroom talk.
Do you think we're gonna beat quarter four expectations?
Yes.
I think that's what we really need to talk about.
I hate all of you so much. I'm the only person here who doesn't. Well, I guess Mark, but like, I have nothing resembling an office job. I actively hate
it.
Corporate talk. I hate it. I worked for a company that was like that. Weekly, like daily meetings, and all this other stuff, and it made me want to claw my ears.
You would hate every single call that Kelly and I have to get on daily.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, some people aren't tough enough to sit on a Zoom call for 5 hours a day for 4 months.
Some people also can't digest bullshit for fucking any amount of time. I'm supposed to listen to this and not tell you that you're full of shit and everything you say doesn't mean anything. Okay.
Man, try being on the generating the bullshit talk side of the screen.
Yes, yeah. My job right now is convincing the local government that they should allow us to work, and it's really annoying because they don't want us to.
Honestly, like, if I'm on the opposite side of that screen, I'm like, frankly, Clarence, you have no talent, and you need to stop working here.
As I think I encounter, like, I don't, I because I work in a warehouse kind of at this point, but I just, like, every time we have a meeting, like an all hands on meeting and stuff of all the staff, and each time I'm just watching the screen, like, okay, I have to be here. It's bullshit. This is bullshit. This is bullshit.
I used to have to sit through daily safety meetings, which I worked in the tree care industry. Safety is very important, but
yeah,
still.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Every day, we have to talk about the same fucking five things. Saw safety, chemical safety, hey, maybe don't feed human beings through a wood chipper. Maybe that's it.
That's when at the end of it, you go, I really learned a lot today, every single day.
I learned a lot, yeah.
One of the five things wasn't don't fall out of trees. Good God.
Don't do meth. What?
I mean, you got ropes for that. No, they all did meth.
I was about to say they did meth. They're tree people.
Of course they did.
One of the best criticisms I've ever heard about tree workers, it's like, yes, we are all hanging from trees, swinging from ropes, holding chainsaws, and yes, we are all hungover.
That's how I do my
best. It's the most accurate thing I've ever heard.
Oh man, I really have to hire a tree service to cut down my tree in my backyard. No, I won't look at it the same.
Do not let any of your kids out of the house. Yeah, yeah, I don't care if they're on the opposite end of the house.
No, just, like, just by the way, just general safety rule, if you have a tree care company doing work on your property, no, don't let kids out.
I was going to say, yeah, just
just
don't.
Generally.
Yeah.
Your PSA. But yeah, getting back to like our like working together, I think we've very much taken this very fun, very offensive way of fighting. Like, we split up a lot now. I don't know if you've all noticed that. Like, we separate every combat because we literally have the beef to do so. And that we can kind of pair off. And I think that's been a cool way of approaching a lot of these fights. And we didn't strategize that. Like, it was all, like, fight by fight. But we split up for the water creatures. We split up for the drakes. We kind of got pretty split up during the demon fight.
Yeah,
I mean, we split up during the fight against One Eye too. I mean, like each person was doing one thing.
Yeah, the split up from the Drake fight turned into being split up for One Eye, and I've never been in a party that's had so much beef that that was even a viable strategy. Even if it wasn't optimal, we can really divide and conquer and actually successfully do it, which is crazy.
You've Jake got somebody know with what to do about all this beef.
Like Mark was on the roof of like a 2-story building for our last fight, shooting through a hole. It was like, yeah, of course he is. Why wouldn't he do that?
Right. Yeah. It's exactly where he should be. Yeah.
But yeah, it would have happened to him up there.
You have the range movement of somebody like Elkwood, who is versatile in any range. He can be a threat close range. He can be a threat long range. He has crazy movement. You have two incredibly sturdy paladins. Mm-hmm. And then you've got Kezra, who is a caster and who does immense amount of damage with his spells. But he also happens to be pretty fucking tanky for one.
Yep.
Yeah.
And he can get out of anything.
It's hard to kill Kezra.
Yeah, I mean, you guys are all like really tough martial characters. Kezra's a really tough sorcerer that has like a whole bunch of I have like a ton of spells in my repertoire to just get me out of combat danger.
Also add the lay on hands that me and Tim have. Yep. Like it's a lot to get through.
Yeah, and the damage reduction for both of you.
Yeah, I mean, you guys have a nice soup right now. It's a nice stew of just all of these like different aspects, and it creates this sort of like heavy flavor to it that it really can't be beat. It's one of those things that I think that like unless I throw some really really devastating will saves, which I will at you guys, it's going to be very very difficult to actually like counter you guys.
Is our will saves.
Yeah, exactly.
I will say Benson became an expert at will saves.
That probably helped you.
Yeah, that's
quite a bit.
Pretty solid. I mean, that will help, but I was going to say that will help, but everything's scaling up too. So,
oh shit.
But if you guys kind of want to roleplay that out, you guys are still in Cypress Point. You guys have not left yet. But the last thing that happened was you guys found a greater thunderstone. I think is what it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't remember what those do, but yeah.
Oh, the thunderstone. It is.
It's like a flashbang, isn't it?
It deafens instead of a. Instead of blinds, but Thunderstone.
Wait, don't you use that to evolve Eevee into a Jolteon?
That is also true, yeah.
Stop breaking the metaverse, man. It's not in this world.
It was a greater Thunderstone, so it does. When the stone hits the creature or hard surface, it explodes with a deafening bang. A Thunderstone deals the listed sonic damage and sonic splash damage. And each creature within 10 feet of the space in which the stone exploded must succeed on a DC 28 fortitude save or be deafened until the end of its next turn.
Okay.
So this thing does... Oh, because it's greater, you have to get a +2 to your attack rolls. So it's a throw. It's, you know, just better suited. But 3d4 sonic damage and 3 sonic splash damage. So pretty, pretty cool.
Pretty chunky.
And that's along with the 2 greater Optimus fires that I found at the beginning of the fight.
Yeah,
I do remember that. Yeah.
Yep. So you guys still have to go back and report to Zerlila and Halika Shadeborn, which is the Nidalee's ambassador is waiting for you. So whatever you guys want to do, that you can take it away.
We saw no orphans; they have already been destroyed.
Oh no. You know what? We'll send the elderly to go find the bodies.
Send the elderly.
The elderly, they've been here long enough.
No, but Benson would very much like to go up to these... what'd you say her name was?
Zerlila. She's the priestess of Desna here in town.
Mm-hmm. So Benson will just kind of saunter his way up and probably covered in much blood and refuse.
With guts.
The beasts in the boathouse have been taken care of.
There she goes. Oh, thank goodness you and your companions are valued beyond belief here. Luck on your travels and good dreams for all of you. Me and the town gathered some things together. It's mostly just collection of gold, art objects, free food, and other miscellaneous prizes. That's what it says in the book. Worth, get ready for this. Are you ready for this? Are you ready for what they're about to give you?
Let's hear it.
Oh, 1,000 gold pieces.
Oh, God, my goodness.
1,000 gold.
We could buy this town.
Kind of.
Please don't. That's all we have.
we rule you now.
As Benson sees this and accepts it and understands that they're grateful and they want to give this to him, Benson is going to pull out a sheet of parchment. He's going to write out a short note. He's going to hand it to the priestess. This is a writ. Giving this to any member of the Church of Ioma Day will allow you to partake in support from the House of Black. And you will receive general payments, general shipments of grains and goods. This is quite literally the least I can do to make sure that your town flourishes once again.
So she bows and just thanks you and gives you a hug. The distant priests are very lovey-dovey. But yeah, so, I mean, she's just like so thankful, and she doesn't the name House Black doesn't really like resonate with her, but she's lived in, you know, small town of Cypress Point, so you know that name or any of the conquests associated with it have not reached their little town, but it doesn't take away from the weight of it. You know, she just says, "I just pray that with the inheritors' protection, that we will not need to call on her or her shields and shield and swords."
I pray not, but with this writ, you will never go hungry.
Thank you. Thank you, Olaf. Virgil,
where were you? Where was it?
Don't you know who he is?
It's not the time, Elkwood.
Just comes out.
It's not the time.
Comes out freaking nowhere.
If only there was someone here who could tell me about this man. Grimshaw's in an outhouse like, "I need to go."
Time to wipe.
Oh, goodness. Deck save, go.
It was a 5-minute poop you only had 2 minutes for.
Fucking peak comedy right
here. I know. We always resort to it.
I love poop jokes. Yeah. Alright, so go.
Yeah, no, like, I think right after the battle, though, like, it kind of seems like everyone's kind of going in that Elk is lingering behind in the boathouse. Mm-hmm. Like, he's basically doing what he normally starts doing now, like, almost instinctually starts carving up and collecting what he could from the bodies.
Okay, yeah.
And Vimir actually starts entering as well and starts doing what he does, which is normally just gorging mm-hmm. on the flesh of the dead.
Yep.
But these, the Kruth, I mean, like, they're fascinating to him because he's just like, he kind of actually feels, I wouldn't say kind of bad in a way, because these were, you know, they were neutral, right?
Like, just creatures. Yeah, it's right. I mean, yeah, they're just creatures. They're just animals.
Yeah, they're just predators. So he kind of like has this weird feeling for a moment, like if there was a better way of getting rid of them, but kind of knew that this was probably the last resort. Like, this is how we had to do it. But then just starts carving into them and seeing what he could salvage, like the teeth and all that stuff. Like, because how dangerous the teeth were. I mean, Benson got impaled by one before, and it, like, caused intense bleeding. Like, so he's gonna start salvaging.
Yeah, so you start salvaging off of one of them, and then Vimir starts going at the other. And when you finish up on yours, and you go over to start carving up the third one, Vimir goes over and like snaps at your hand. He gets like really, really like possessive about it.
Whoa, Vimir, it's me. I'm just trying to, like, there's plenty of this for you. I mean, it's a large creature.
But he's, like, watching him now, just kind of moves his, like, hand over to the head of the creature, like, trying to get like further this way. It's kind of like when you're trying to deal with an animal like that, you know, was a little bit food aggressive.
Yeah.
And you're just trying to like, okay, like, but I just want this. And he goes to try to touch one of the teeth, like to yank it out.
Nope. Vamir does not let you.
He just kind of pulls his hand and he's like, what the hell has gotten into you? Just like, can you do like a nature check, I guess?
Yeah, go ahead.
Skills. My nature is better now because my wisdom went up. Hell yeah.
Is it better now? Better now?
Well, I mean, it was 27.
So this, it's not unlike vultures to be kind of possessive about their food, but you've had, you know, a sort of kinship with this animal, and to see him act like this is just weird. Mm. You don't feel like safe, and you don't feel very in control in this situation. So he just takes it and he drags it over to like one side to kind of get away from you with the corpse, as he just starts like devouring bits and pieces of it. He rips off a whole arm and just like chokes it down.
But it's like, and these things are large, right?
Yeah, they're large. I mean, he's just tearing up. Like, it doesn't make any sense. Like that he's somehow this hungry.
Yeah, he's gonna, as much as he wants to know what the hell's going on, he's kind of gonna keep base and just watch, like, kind of, he's unsure of what to do. I mean, like, honestly, with animal companions, like, he kind of understands a bit of it, and he kind of has that kinship, and then at the same time, he's like, I don't know what to do right now. I am out of my league with this, because all I can really do is keep watching, and every so often, like, when it kind of seems like he's lulling down, I guess, like, you know, when he kind of goes, okay, he has to go into a food coma, like, that's, has to, and then kind of tries to get up near him again, the kind of, just both palms out. Man, it's
Vamir all of a sudden snaps at your hands, and he, like, collapses a bit, and he just, like, ah! And he, like, spits up some of the bones. Vulture pellet, I guess. And he takes... He grabs the corpse of the Kuruth. He, like, puts his talon into its face and kind of, like, puts it behind him. And you see him start to, like, twitch and, like, jerk back and forth. And he seems, like, freaked out. He's not too sure what's happening. And so he just takes the Kuruth, gets out of the boathouse, and just flies away with it.
Bullshit.
What? So, like, I imagine, like, you know, Elkwood is, like, in the boathouse with Vamir, and we're kind of maybe outside the boathouse just kind of chatting, and then all of a sudden, we just see Vamir take off
with this giant freaking lizard.
His talents. And Grimshaw just looks up and is like, by the gods, that's a strong bird. And, like, Grimshaw, yeah. Curiosity pokes it and sees Elkwood, like, does he do that often?
No. This is a first.
All right.
He's never been this aggressive about things.
So Benson goes, I'll get him. Teleport.
Hand me my great bow. I will take him in.
Benson teleports over top of Vamir. No.
Plunging attack. Uh-huh. I mean,
they'll never see it again.
It's true. But he just kind of watches him go. He's just... And, like, he kind of curses a couple of times. He's just like, I'll find him later. He's probably just a bit freaked out from everything going on.
Mm. Is that the case?
I don't know, to be honest. He's never been that aggressive with me. He's just... I honestly don't know, Benson. And it's also the same thing with, like, with the level up. Like, he's kind of, like, stretching back a bit and kind of feels a hell of a lot stronger, like, after everything's going on. But he ultimately knows. He's just like, well, whatever he needs to do, he'll come back. Otherwise, I'll have to find him and hunt him down. Bring him back by force.
Well, let me know if you need help with that.
Oh, I will, but I'm sure it won't come to that. I mean, he'll be back in the night, hopefully. He can take care of himself.
No doubt about that.
Was just watching this freaking thing fly away with I'm just imagining like seeing something like carrying a giant alligator, basically.
Yeah.
Like in the air, and you're like, yeah. And I mean, you hearing like almost sounded like bone snapping, and it didn't sound like it was coming from the cruise, but it just sounds like Vemir is just like it sounded like he was like stretching, and you know like when you like stretch really hard and your like bones kind of pop. It's what it sounded like. It just sounded brutal. So there's something going on with him, but you guys need to get on the road though. Helica Shadeborn is waiting for you.
Who is
Helica Shadeborn? He's the
Nidalee's diplomat.
Yes. Played by Jeremy Renner. He's the guy that had the striking green eyes and the little green lip ring.
Yeah,
I forget where we gave him a bow.
Where are we taking him?
Kintargo.
He's on his way to Kintargo. He said that he's there to smooth over and try to find common ground. If anybody knows anything, even personally, like as players, know anything about like Kintargo versus Nidal, they don't go very well together. There's a lot of stuff in between the Nidalee's worship of Zonkuthon, Kintargo's separation from Cheliax and the outlawing of slavery and stuff like that. And so they just sort of butt heads on a lot of things. And so they send ambassadors back and forth and diplomats back and forth. And he's just another one in the long line of diplomats that have gone to try to make things good between them.
Could I approach this gentleman?
He had approached you last night, and he was a little vague about stuff because he's on a diplomatic mission, but he does seem kind of nervous about the whole road ahead and stuff like that. But he does trust you guys to protect him at least.
What was his name again?
Helica, Halleka.
So Helica, are you ready to get on the road?
Yes. It's 4 or 5 day journey.
Possibly. You never know what could happen on the road.
Well, I do have my pack. Do you have horses? How did you arrive here?
I think we jumped through a magical portal, descended a cliff, and then we were here.
He sort of squints his eyes, trying to suss you out.
Wait, oh, Benson, you're always such a joker. Yeah, we've been on a long, long journey.
And he just gives Benson a look, and you know that, like, with his doublespeak, he's saying, shut up.
We've been on a long journey, and, sometimes you can say that the journey long taken is like a portal into another world, because where we were before just seems so distant and far off from the culture around us. You know what I mean?
I would think that as he pats your shoulder, he goes, don't lay it on so quick. And then he goes over and he genuinely puts a hand on the shoulder of this diplomat and goes, by the way, he's not doing this forcefully, but he's doing this in a way that the weight of his hand hits this diplomat's shoulder, and goes, I would hope you would tell me if anything that you have to do with your own mission would endanger anyone in my particular party. I have no problem. In fact, I would be happily help you. But
Of course. No. He's kind of like taken aback by it because he's a diplomat, and so he's just like, no. I can heal. In fact, I'm trained in the clerical ways. Third, second, and first level heal spells.
Well, damn. Is there anything you can roll to see if he's lying or nervous?
Go ahead. Yeah, you can roll perception on to sense motive.
They're arm spells.
Okay, 26.
You feel pretty confident that he is nervous and trying to, like, you know, prove himself, as, you know, to that he's being helpful. If you, you do see the symbol of Zonkuthon, he has the chain manacles, or like, the spiked manacles around his wrist, which you would know, or would be symbolic of Zonkuthon. He seems to be, was a cleric of, a fifth level cleric of Zonkuthon.
Fifth level? Fifth level.
That's why he can cast third level heal spells. So
the afterlife Adalar laughs. Third level heals.
What a bitch!
I bet he didn't even take the feat to turn them into D10s.
Benson will clap this man on the back instead of trying to be so intimidating at this point. All right. Let our travels be safe as I walk over to Grimshaw. You don't have to be so serious all the time.
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm just trying to limit the knowledge base of who and who doesn't know about these magical portals. Do you really think telling a worshiper of Zonkuthon about a portal that can cross continents is a good idea?
A mystical portal I made up in my mind and told him. Yes, of course.
All I'm saying is even if it does come across as a joke, someone might look into that, and that leads back to us. It's not just a fun little joke. You're actually, you talk about endangering the party, you could endanger ours. Well, have you ever come across an inquisitor of Zonkuthon?
Yes,
have you ever come
have.
Across? You have. All right. I was almost killed by one. I don't take encounters with worshippers of Zonkuthon lightly.
Do you hate them?
No, of course I don't. I myself am from Nidal. I was born there.
Can I make a roll to see if I believe that he doesn't hate them?
Sure, go for it. You can roll perception.
13 on the die for a 27.
You do not have any reason to believe that he hates them.
Very well.
I just know what they're capable of. That's all.
You're right. I have been a bit lax lately. Maybe it's just from, crushing those slavers put me in a good goddamn mood.
It's always a good day when I can strike down some members of the Scarlet Triad. That's a fact.
But, however, I'm trusting you more and more, Grimshaw. You're a good man. And I don't mind telling you that.
Means a lot coming from you, who wears the cloak. But
don't be so quick. I happen to be insane.
Oh, really? Is that a side effect of the mantle?
Every mantle wearer has had it.
Let's see.
But please, please, don't tell the others.
And
I feel like you guys are becoming like Woody and Buzz from Toy Story 1.
I was thinking that exact thing.
Like,
yeah,
you guys have been enemies and or just like at odds for no reason, and like all of a sudden you're like realizing, hey, we're friends.
I wasn't expecting that at all. So.
As Grimshaw walks away, you just hear a little jaunty tune.
You got a friend in me.
I knew it.
And the second Benson hears the plagiarism, he plunges his sword in his back.
This is from the mouse.
Disney will never let that slide.
It's a Keyblade.
The mouse says hello.
Who was? What was the woman's name?
Zerlila.
Zerlila. I was gonna be like, do you mean Bo Peep?
Bo Peep.
Oh yeah, Bo Peep. But okay, he's actually going to find her real fast because I know while they're going off about Nidal and stuff, he did want to at least point her in the direction of the portal. Because activate it, but there is that tree down there that I think would be beneficial to someone that worships Desna. So he's trying to be a good person about it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you find her. She's still helping people. She hasn't stopped. You don't know if she slept, to be honest.
I got the thing for you.
She's bandaging up somebody's leg and you know giving them a crutch. And she turns around and she just goes, Elkwood. Sorry, I'm absolutely terrible with names.
You're quite fine. I know it's been just a short time, but we are about to probably be heading out soon. But I did want to let you know there is something of Desna's down from that region I spoke to you about before.
Right, yes.
Yes, so if you want, I can assign you at least a direction to point you in that direction. You'll need rope to get down there.
Oh.
But there is a tree of... Oh, man, what was that thing called?
Hold on, wait. She wouldn't be able to get in without the key, though.
Not even in that way station?
No.
Oh, shit. Nope. Okay, I thought that was like... I thought it was like you use the portal, you walk through, and then you see the way station, which had the tree, where the witches and all the hags were.
You could open it up. She would need the Star of Desna. Oh. She would need that in order to get in.
Shit. Never mind then.
I mean, here's the thing. You could still point her to the thing, and then it's still decorated with like Desnan stuff.
Stuff.
It's each of the archways are decorated with things representing the deity that they're representing. That one is decorated, has like a moon and has like, you know, stars and stuff like that, and it sort of glows with like a dark, calm shimmer, you know what I mean?
Just thought if they had access to it, I'd be like, yeah, okay, if you do that. But I didn't realize I had to use the key to open
up. Yeah, you have to use the key every time. I think it stays open for like 10 minutes, if I remember correctly. I think it's one of those things that like it doesn't stay open very long.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, but he'll then instead, he goes, well, I can point you at least in the cavern there's some imagery of Desna. But when I get back, and hopefully it won't be too long, I can guide you into the Inter Sanctum.
You wouldn't be able to get me in now?
No. I unfortunately do not know the mysteries of these devices, and if we have to depart soon in order to go to Contago, I cannot hold my party up.
Very well. Fine, then I would at least love to see the gates, so if you could give me directions, I will be able to to go down there. Some of the locals would love to see it.
Yes, bring some people with you. But yes, I can point you in the right direction. It's actually quite simple to get there. And he does. He just kind of informs you. Because I'm pretty sure it was like a straight shot.
You just it was on the coast. So you just walk along the coast, and eventually you get to it. Yeah. At some point, probably after she's done helping everybody, she'll make the trek out there with some other believers.
Yeah, just make sure you bring some rope with you. It's down the bluff.
I understand. I will make sure that we have provisions.
Well, it was nice meeting you. I'm not sure if we're leaving right now, but we're just trying to get things all ready to go.
I understand. If you have to come by, if you come by Cypress Point again, you are more than welcome to anything that you might need. And she gives you a nod as you depart.
Yeah, nods back and meets up with the rest of the party.
All right, well, I'm all ready to set off. I think we've done all we can do here.
I would agree.
Yes.
Is this like the day after we killed the Kruth?
No, this would be the same day, because you guys went, because you guys did that like first thing in the morning.
I'm desperately hurt, and I need...
That's right, I need to get that tooth out of me. I still have the tooth in me. I think actually, I'm technically bleeding.
Zir Lilo would have healed you okay. and helped you out.
Yeah, right, cool, cool. Actually, yeah,
cool. Kendra, you bled out during your level up, so...
I just flexed and it just popped out.
Yeah, Kezra burned a lot of spells for that combat.
Oh, shit.
I mean, that combat right, went really well because we were buffed like hell for it.
I was going to say, yeah, because you mm-hmm. burned so many spells
we
for
kinda
it.
We kind of mollywopped it.
Kezra would prefer to leave in the morning.
Okay.
We all can't right. waste time, Kezra. We have to set out now. I don't know what lies for us in Contago, but if things are as bad as they are here, we haven't a moment to lose.
And Benzi goes, hey, hey. Snaps, hey, hey. Don't fuck with the spellcaster.
Kind of like we could leave in the morning. We'll have more sunlight to walk by. We'll be nice and rested. We can have a good meal before we go. I'm just saying.
Well, let's see. It's only about like 10 a.m. right now. So
we can no. get going
if you
sun up.
Sleep, if you sleep late. Now,
it's too late.
I mean, we all leveled up, so we should have full health, right?
Yeah, that's how that works.
I'm pretty sure you got an instant refresh on your spell slots. Pretty sure that's how it works. You read the yeah. Thunderstone. You leveled up.
You know
up.
What? See, Zir Lila pulls out some Space Jam magic juice, and it gives you full heal and gives you back all your spells.
But it's just fountain water.
Good enough. Yeah. He squirts into his mouth or whatever. He does the Popeye's arm beef up animation, and he says,
"Fuck! Did he just level up?"
And Kezra leveled up.
Was this a level 20 item here?
Yeah, yeah. He yep. picks up a giant what? Wooden cart and he just drops it on some bystanders.
Feel my power.
Kezra, I don't think that was... Jesus. Oh, God. Oh.
Oh, no.
I don't think I can morally support this anymore.
All right. Y'all have twisted my arm. We can leave now. Kezra has no more business here.
I did what I came to do.
Civilian.
You have a cleric.
He's
you can
killed enough civilians. Let's go.
All right. So you are on your way to Contargo. Mm-hmm. So if you look at the map of Ravenel...
I don't see anything.
If you look at the
it's
map
it's night.
Of Ravenel...
Hey. Oh, here we go.
Don't ever talk to me like that again, Timmy.
I'll hurt you. I'll cut you.
I'll drive 2 hours to your house and cut you.
Turns so out you guys were in is a big fucking forest. All right.
Yes, it does. So you guys
the Eskwood.
No, yes, it's Nidal. Nidal is the Eskwood, my bad.
Contargo looks like a Nidal really was. Beautiful area to be, doesn't it? Oh, river down
yeah,
far,
so,
like an island off. Like, Contargo is probably like the Mediterranean.
I could see it. I mean, I just didn't realize
well,
Nidal was right there, though.
Yeah, Contargo is the city, is the capital of Ravenel. So it's yeah. I mean, it Contargo is beautiful. It's called the Silver City for a reason. But yeah. So you guys see you're in Cypress Point, and so you pretty much just follow the coast west and then south, obviously, to get to Contargo. You guys have a 3-day journey. Helica Shaveborn was wrong about his estimation. You guys have a 3-day journey ahead of you, and you guys are on foot, so you know you can just kind of take it easy as you're walking. If any of you would like to talk to Helica, you can try to conversate with him. He'll obviously conversate with you, especially since you are. You are Kyall Grimshaw. Mm-hmm. He's gonna kind of buddy up with you, even though you've clearly stated you're not from Contargo. he sort of like buddies up with you a few times, and he starts talking about like, so what's happening in Cantago? You know, he's trying to get a feel, because he's just like, he lives there, he must know. Mm. Yeah. So if you would like, you can talk with him, and he will converse with you.
Yeah. So you know, he's asking me what's going on in Cantago, and Grimshaw's like, I confess that I haven't been back to Cantago in quite some time. I've been following a lead on the Scarlet Triad. It's taken me... took me very far away from here. You ever heard of a small town called Breach Hill?
Let me roll for that. No, I don't.
Take your time. Take your time. You can roll for it.
I only got an 11, so I'm afraid that I am not aware of this town. What is this town about? What are its attractions?
It doesn't really have much in the way of attractions, except for the penchant for attracting danger. They have a thing called a call to heroes, where they don't really have a well-formed, well-rounded guardsman, from what I understand, so they have to offload a lot of their responsibilities to traveling adventurers or mercenaries to kind of solve problems for them. Yeah, apparently there is some activity going on with a local Hell Knight caste that was taken over by some people.
He just kind of looks around, a little shifty.
Anywho, they seem to have attracted the wrong kind of attention, because the Scarlet Triad took interest into the dealings of Breach Hill. I was after a very specific target there, and my investigation has led me back to Cantago, which is quite surprising. I don't, you, speaking of... There's a well-to-do family in Cantago. I don't know if you know much about them.
And he recounts the blanking on the name. I wrote it down, but my notebook's not handy. You know the fancy family.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah. And that is in, hold on, that was in the Genie Smile thing.
I might be able to grab my book.
Try to take my cloak away.
Hold on, Benson, stand still. I need to look at the tag.
Yeah, right. I need to look at the tag.
Sardrani Varsnail or Varsnar Still. Varsnar Still.
Yes.
Sardrani Varsnar Still.
Have you heard of the noble family Varsnar Still? Did you ever meet with them in your training as a diplomat?
Embarrassed to admit this, but this is my first time going to Cantago.
Wait a second. I thought you told us that you had visited there before, and that you were a familiar face that they would recognize.
I was there as an intern, but we did not spend much time outside of, you know, the many of the negotiations. I didn't get to walk around the city, is what I mean.
I see. Okay.
But if this is a wealthy family, let me see if maybe we traded with them at all. Nope, don't believe we did.
Well, I mean, it's a big city, so can't know everyone, I suppose.
But so you did you deal with the inner politics? I'm trying to fish information to see when I go, to see what sort of angle I might go at, to see, you know, is there anything that the people of Cantago deal with that I might be able to give guidance on?
Would I even know that information?
Yeah, you would. You know that they are still recovering from... because slavery has been outlawed, you would know, being part of the Crimson Briar, that you and another group were actually trying to fish that out. obviously, the Scarlet Triad being as elusive as they were, it was always a back and forth of, like, wild goose chases and, you know, misinformation and stuff like that. But
I guess from my perspective, how much could a diplomat actually help with that? I mean, the laws already in place, is just about enforcing them and snuffing them out.
Go ahead and roll me a perception check to sense motive on him actually first.
23.
So it seems like he's just trying to peg you for information for good reasons. Obviously, right. You know, he is a diplomat here, but he's sort of hoping, you being such an upstanding individual, that he was just like, he must have great info, but you working in the shade, you know, and working undercover, a lot of times he's just kind of like, maybe he wouldn't be a good resource.
So I guess kind of maybe, you know, waffling on his question, thinking, humming and hawing a bit, he's like, he kind of gets to the point where he's like, I think my best piece of advice would be just to stick with your training. You know, everyone in every society, they need something. So as long as you come open and transparent about what it is that who you represent can offer, and as long as you're upfront about what it is you offer, I think you'll be all right. But know this, that if you try to leverage some sort of influence from the Umbral Court, the people of Kintaga, they've been oppressed for a very long time, and they're not looking to get into any unfair power dynamics, if you know what I mean.
Very well. Go ahead and make me a diplomacy check on that. To try to, you know, you're talking about being more honest and open and stuff like
diplomacy
that.
Diplomacy on a diplomat.
Okay, have fun.
Oh, gosh, the dice are not being kind. That's another 23.
Use your time power.
My time powers!
Do you have time powers?
I do have time powers today. And I'm going to guide the timeline.
Oh man, can you actually do something in here?
I hate you.
I guide the timeline. I get marginally better. Like, I say something and I see his reaction is not favorable, so I reverse. You see me just like twist my hand a little bit, and you see stars glow on my fingers, and then I try another approach, and I say,
I think it would be more advantageous for your career as a diplomat if you were to be more open and transparent with what you have to offer, what the Umbral Court has to offer.
So I got marginally better, but the 24 instead of a 23.
Okay.
You said marginally better. I was expecting at least 4 more better.
No. Literally, I rolled a 9, then a 10.
Man, I didn't actually know you could do that. I was just hoping you could.
Yep.
Could be no, once he's just per making day. Up rules. I mean, as we determined, he made up an entire class.
He made it up. And then he wrote the whole thing. He wrote the archetype in Archive of Nethys.
Oh, wait a second. No, it's only ally or foe. I could cause them to have misfortune if they're rolling against me, but
whatever. You used time powers and you got a little bit better. Let's just leave it there.
Yeah.
It's still cool.
So you sort of say this, and he sort of thinks about it, and he has this weird thing that is a little unsettling, where he sort of like brings his fingers like across his chin as if he's trying to like coax the words out as he's thinking, and he goes, how would you feel if I brought the idea of the Kintaro Council using Valstrak as bodyguards?
I don't know what the Valstrak are.
Go ahead and roll me a religion check.
Ooh, okay. I could do that. This is quite fitting because I did grow up in Nidal, and I'm a master in religion, so that is a 34.
Oh, Valstrak. A family of fiends from the Shadow Plane that are associated with pain and agony. all Valstrax possess some form of disturbing gaze. I will go ahead. I will. Let me go into.
Oh, God. So you asked the priest of Zonkuthon.
Feels. Velstrax are horrific shadow-dwelling fiends who seek ultimate sensation through self-mutilation. They transcend their stoic detachment only when inflicting pain and terror upon their victims, practicing new forms of debasement and torture before then turning their knives on themselves. Although Velstrax consider themselves beyond such limitations as morality or mortal taboos, their victims know them as emotionless tormentors who inflict debased, sadistic suffering. They claim to seek perfection in thought, form, and action, although they don't recognize any refinement that doesn't require the painful excision of flesh or spirit. So
they sound like good people.
They're pretty much like Hellraiser fiends.
Yeah, yeah. They're Xenobites.
Terrible.
Yeah.
They are lawful evil. They're
Xenobites from Hellraiser.
They're pretty much Xenobites. So yeah. they're all lawful evil fiends. So they're not devils per se, right. But they are lawful evil. Yeah. So they're in their own thing. So yeah. There's devils and then there's Velstrak.
Right.
As he like says that, he goes, you know, we're working with trade agreements. We do have connections with the Velstrak, and any issues they might have, the Velstrak can be employed in this way to help them.
You know about the history of Cantargo? Do you know what country they were formerly a part of?
I am aware of all of those things, but the Velstrak have nothing to do with enslavement. It's they give themselves their bodies and their spirits as machines. They're honestly, I've seen their work. Have you ever seen a Velstrak fight a shadow giant?
I have not seen that particularly, but I have seen the torturous pain that they inflict on others. And I think a city reeling from oppression and violence would do... I don't think they'd take too kindly to instituting authorities that could basically do the same things that their oppressors did to them, but this time, like I guess once again approved by the law. I just don't see that working out too well.
He can tell he's kind of like on his heels on this. He's like, well, but here's the deal, if Velstrak are employed, there is no form of oppression. They wish not to keep others down. It's mostly about, think of it more of like self-sacrifice. You know, when they are employed against enemies of Cantargo, they'll see the benefits of having the Velstrak around.
Tell me, have you ever heard of the Nidalee slogan, AVAB? All Velstraks are bastards.
Oh, I have not heard of that one.
I think you have a lot of street learning to do. Now, once again, I'm my own guy, right? I'm not this city council of Cantargo, but I got a sense of what the people would be into. I don't think they'd be into that. Maybe you could convince some crooked, city councilman that this is the way to go. But I guarantee you that if, or rather when, things go south in Cantargo, and something has to be done about this, it will reflect poorly on you, first and foremost.
Perhaps, but the Velstrak are loyal. They stick to a code. You can see he's not really backing down from the idea on it. He goes, I am just there for trade agreements mostly. The Velstrak thing is just an idea. But if you don't think it'll be a good idea, then I will leave that out until they really want something, something with power, perhaps.
Yeah, took that one in your back pocket. That's a good idea.
I will keep Velstrak in my back pocket until the time is right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Nidal is here. Just trust the Xenobites. Children, swallow the razors.
Grimshaw pulls out a little notepad, and it's a red stained book. You don't know what it's stained with. And on the top, just says hit list. And it's a bunch of Scarlet Triad members. It's like, wait, how do you spell your name again?
Oh, it's spelled H-A-L-L-E-K-A.
All right, cool. Thanks. Got it.
Last name, Shadeborn.
Oh, yep. Yep.
S-H-A-D-E.
Yep.
B-O-R-N.
Oh, B-O-R-N. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
He just goes, oh, is that a Christmas list?
Yep, check it twice. Yep, gotta find out who's naughty and nice.
Right, yeah. as the song goes, of course.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Does Benson pick up on the tension that is currently happening? I'm happy to roll a perception check.
It is palpable.
It is palpable.
As Benson is walking, he pulls Grimshaw aside.
Hey, what's up?
If you don't want it on your hands, I can do it.
Tell me, what... you don't know much about the Crimson Briar, do you?
I know very much about the Crimson Briar.
Know that we don't mind getting anything on our hands.
Getting things on your hands? Let's not be childish. I have had to pull the same kitten off my desk for 3 times, sorry.
She escaped!
I thought you were still in Benson's character. What the hell are you talking about?
I've had to pull the same kitten off my shoulders.
It's like these metaphors are getting out of hand.
God damn it, she keeps coming.
Seriously, a real cat is following.
Seriously, the Velstrak's response was, "I've taken this kitten off my desk 3 times." I was like, where is he going with this?
It's a very important strain.
Oh my god, I lost it.
I know exactly what you mean. I've had to pull the kitten off a couple times myself.
Are you talking about getting the monkey off your back?
This is Grimshaw's double speak ability again.
Because we're sitting there listening to religion. Because we're sitting there at the fire listening to religion and politics, he has no idea what he's talking about. And then these two paladins start talking about kittens. I'm just like, what the fuck is going on?
Wow, the conversation took a weird turn.
Everything's going on, goddammit.
Something in the air, I guess.
But to bring it back.
Anyway, so, yeah.
You don't trust this priest, do you?
I would say after a brief conversation with him, not anymore.
All right. Do you want me to do something?
I think his mission is true. I don't think he deceives us on his purpose of going to Kentargo.
You know... The brutal truth I learned about in my earlier years is that honest men can be the most dangerous. Just because you respect them doesn't mean you have to accept their version.
I agree, although it might reflect poorly on Kentargo if a member of the Crimson Briar was in the party of a diplomat and that diplomat died. If you catch my drift.
Yeah, he did say his main mission is to go establish trade, yeah. So.
Yeah. Then walk away. I don't care about such things on my name.
Hmm. Mm-hmm-hmm.
I don't think it's quite as easy as you think it is. It's not like a happy accident. You know, 5 people leave Cypress Point, 4 people make their way to Kentargo, eventually we're leaving and we're going to the same spot. It's just, it's not as easy. But if there was an accident, well, no, we don't even want an accident in Contargo. That'd reflect badly on Contargo. Can you imagine the Umbral Court enacting their vengeance?
You seem to misunderstand my stance on this particular incident. You seem to think I give a shit about a court.
I just think you have a narrow perspective, is all. This affects more than just you and your name and your house. These are my people you're talking about.
Yes, and I ask to do something good for them.
Good. Bad. The lines seem to blur sometimes, but I can tell you that the way you're proposing just will just lead to more conflict. That's what Contargo doesn't want. We could just as easily influence I could just as easily go to Contargo, talk to some of the count. Like, I have connections. We can talk to the council members, let them know that this person is about bad business, and the trade agreements could fall through. I mean, have you seen the way this guy talks? He's nice and all, but he doesn't really have a silver tongue, if you know what I mean.
The blackest of souls speak with the silverest of tongues. You know that.
I do, and that's how I can recognize that his is not so.
Come on. Look at me. Are you not sent by the gods to solve these problems?
I don't think this is what Milani has in mind. Tell me, is this what Iomide has?
Maybe it is. Maybe it is not. It is my judgment that I must abide by.
Well, maybe your judgment's wrong.
Maybe it is. I can't claim to be perfectly omniscient.
And nor can I.
Then maybe you should actually take some action.
I think the best course of action is to wait and see. There's no need to rush into anything.
Unless, of course, you wait and see and people get hurt.
Kezra walks over and he's like, should we take a vote? If anybody cares, I'm for team kill him when we get to Contargo and realize he's useless. Or betrays us. I'm fine with either.
Alright.
I just imagine the Diplod just kind of walking on ahead or something, or he's over at one side of the part of the campsite. Just like talking, looking over him.
We should definitely kill him, right?
Like he turns around and goes, wait, what? And then we're just like, no. Just wave him off. Like,
don't worry about it.
It's just like Peter in the woods. He's like, what? I'll be there in a moment. Sorry.
This is a private castle owner's business. And this paladin. Like, he doesn't own the castle, but he's well.
You own a castle?
Yeah, it's kind of a big
deal. Yes, it's a bitchin' castle.
A bitchin' castle, indeed.
See, I mean, just from this, like, can Elf do, like, I mean, the Night Owl Court, right?
Umbral Court.
Would that have any connections?
The Umbral Court, yeah.
Umbral Court, yes, Umbral Court. But would that have any underworld type gravitas, basically? Could I do
not, not particularly, no.
Because they're pretty above the law. They are law.
They are above the law, that's for sure.
They are above the law, but what I'm saying is, like, they don't... Like, their criminal act... Like, they think everything they're doing is correct.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, so... I guess this comes down to perspective, but no, they've had assassins come after them, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, if anything, you've heard about, oh, they've had assassins come after them and no one has returned.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's what you would have learned about them. I mean, they are a very terrifying group, but they are trying to make trade. You know, they're literally trying to, like, make their place in the world, and this guy is just a diplomat for them.
Yeah. It's primarily just not trying to kill and start shit.
Yeah.
Because if they find out, they can send the full, like, God, you don't want assassins going. They might, for, I don't know, like, retribution, take out Cypress Point.
Mm.
Like, you don't know what they might do. They might be
not,
like...
Honestly, not really.
Really?
No. They I mean, they probably don't see Cypress Point as strategic in any way. Like I said, they're neighbors with Cantargo. They know Cantargo is powerful, and they literally just want to establish trade in order to, you know, better... There's no trade agreement that's completely one-sided, so obviously they're trying to offer something as well, trade back and forth, but no, you don't see them as the kind of people that would, like... They might get salty about it, but you don't think that the Umbral Court would, like, send assassins because the trade agreement didn't work out. They probably send someone else for another trade agreement.
That's what I was
later.
About to say.
It's even if we do take him out, and if we can frame it as the perfect crime, it's an accident, killed by wild boars or something, they're just gonna send another one. And when they send another one, we won't be there. I'd rather us keep tabs on him and try to sway our council to perhaps not do trade with them. I think that's a better strategy than taking out the messenger.
I think
you can sneak ahead, or not sneak ahead, but, like, talk to the people ahead in time, and you're just be like, yeah, just don't listen to this guy. Like, just keep pushing them off. I mean, that'd be a perfectly valid reason that's diplomatic.
Yeah.
And no possible fallout should happen.
Kezra looks at...
I'm just thinking...
Kezra looks at Benson and he goes,
I feel like we should defer to the expert on this. I mean, he is from this area. I think we should just defer to his judgment, whether you think you're right or wrong.
I'll defer to the group's judgment.
Well, I side with him. I think we should kill him when only necessary. That's what you're saying, right?
Yeah, like, have you seen him? He just looks so wimpy. Like, he doesn't really pose a threat to us.
He does seem like a big wimp. seems like a big, cloistered cleric weenie.
Looks like you crit him on a natural 10.
Take it from somebody who actually has court experience. Men like that can cause the biggest problems.
Well, what say you, Elk?
He was half paying attention, but to the whole thing going on. I mean, he's more like...
But he's at his piece and just was like, yeah, a bird.
Yeah, fuck it.
Yeah.
But you were basically saying not that killing him would just cause more problems than...
I think it would personally cause more issues, but Elk would also kind of see the same thing. He sees it, like, he doesn't see, like, the court system in a way. He sees more everything kind of in a criminal type scenario. And he just thinks that just offing this guy, like, right now, might lead into some issues later. Like, in a foresight sort of situation. As far as he knows at this point, and this is kind of like going with how certain things happened in the past, you get ahead of him and lead him off and convince people not to do the trade agreement if you think it's going to be against better judgment. Like,
yeah,
it just seems better. That way you don't kill him. I think the other thing Elk is kind of like half paying attention to it and kind of thinking about it is like, if you take this guy out, they'll just, again, send someone else.
Yeah.
And we won't be there.
So Kezra just slaps his hand on Benson's shoulder and is just like, well, the group's judgment is he lives.
If he betrays us, we'll take him out, but...
Oh, yes.
There's no need to...
I would genuinely like to know, what is the group's feeling on Benson's absolutism in this situation?
I think Grimshaw, he does not say this out loud, but Grimshaw thinks that you're a little off your rocker in this judgment call.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Elk's kind of also think the same, because it's kind of like, usually like when Benson was, you know, killing, you know, slavers, killing like anything evil, like it makes perfect sense. But this is about killing a diplomat that he hasn't raised anything to us, like at all. Like, he's not cackling evilly, like, while rolling a mustache, or like, he's not Thick Nigel. Like, he's...
He did stroke his beard really strangely, though.
Oh,
his
that's
chin.
True, he did. Never
I
mind.
Didn't
take
like
him
that.
Out. Take him out. I don't care.
Yeah, I mean, Kezra kind of saw what Benson's doing, and this is even a little unhinged for normal Benson. Benson's always really intense, and Kezra makes fun of him and eggs him on about it. But he can tell he's gone a little more intense. That's kind of why he inserted himself, because he heard Elk and he heard Grimshaw make, you know, very valid points, and that Benson wasn't getting it, so he was like, I need to step in here and be reasonable for once.
It's a bunch of beefcakes. She's like, we should kill.
Come on, bro.
No,
come on, bro.
One more coming. Come on, bro. Let's just kill him, bro.
So you guys, everyone goes to sleep, either paranoid or not, and you wake up well-rested the next morning. You get your long rest if you didn't get it already. There, Kezra. And you wake up the next morning, and Helika is standing over you, and he has his hands cupped around something. He goes, I'm not a very good cook, but I did find these, and he has some beautiful ripe blueberries. He goes,
nature check.
He goes, I believe they're safe to eat if you would like some. There's a whole bush over there.
Survival check.
yeah, go and roll survival or nature.
25 for survival.
Those look like perfectly good blueberries.
Oh, wow.
This seems like a very genuine thing that he tried to do for you guys.
Aw.
Bastard. We like strawberries.
All of you are conflicted about whether or not this guy is horrible, or if he's conniving, or if he's just oddly, weirdly, genuinely nice. And I'll see you guys next time.
I just think, like, anyone from Nidal is like this. Oh my god. Anyone.
Hello there. This is Mark from the Dragon Punch Squad, here to let you in on a deal going on for all you loyal listeners out there. Greenleaf Geek is an excellent crafter within your favorite polyhedral shapes, and if you use the code DRAGONPUNCHSQUAD, you get 10% off your next order of dice. A variety to choose from, with crisp edges and some fun ones like their perihedral shapes that have little cats in the middle, or the Barbenheimer set. Again, use Dragon Punch Squad during checkout for 10% off. See you next time.